Are you excited to be in church this morning? All right, let's worship the Lord.
Sometimes you gotta dance through the darkness, sing through the fire, praise when it don't make sense. Sometimes you gotta stare down the giant, worship from the lion's den. Sometimes you gotta shout it from the mountain, louder in the valley, trusting that he's gonna get you there. Sometimes you gotta welcome the wonder, wait for the answer, worship with your hands in the air. I'll praise you anywhere.
Praise, be praised, be praised in the highest.
Swing wide. Sometimes you gotta stand on your shackles, brave in the battle, worship with your hands held high. I'll praise you anywhere.
Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. In the highest.
Praise you.
Amen. Let's give God the glory this morning.
Say, it is well, it is well.
Come on, give him all the glory today.
Good morning. Are y'all ready? I hope you are. Just remember, I got it first. Okay? I got it first this week. Last October, I was afforded the privilege to go alligator hunting in South Louisiana. It was a ball. I had the best time. They treated us unbelievably well. I killed the one alligator we were supposed to kill within 20 feet of the boat ramp. Short trip, right? And they was like, well, we can either kind of troll back over there and you can go back to your truck, or you can go with us and we'll ride and go check all the lines. Because just like you see on Swamp People on TV, they hang those nasty, rotting pieces of chicken on big hooks, and that's real. And that's what they wanted us to go and check. And I was like, yeah. I mean, when in South Louisiana, we do what South Louisianans do. And so that's what we do. We rode around all day. And I got to be my five-year-old self and ask all kinds of questions, because it's kind of like a whole other culture. It's another world down there in South Louisiana. And they'll tell you, they're proud to tell you they are different, doing their own thing. We got on the subject of Mardi Gras, because that's kind of what, when I think of Louisiana, I think of Mardi Gras. And I was asking them, well, what is Mardi Gras like for you? Is it different down here than New Orleans? Because there's some sort of rift between South Louisiana and New Orleans. They don't jihad. And he went to telling me all the things that they do different about Mardi Gras. And I was just soaking it up. And he made one statement that stuck with me above all the things that he said when he was talking about Mardi Gras. He said, it's the one day of the year that you get to be anybody you want to be. I think there's a good side to that and a bad side to that. We could go a couple of different directions with this thing. From a good side, you can say, well, this is the one day of the year that I'm going to designate. I'm going to live like Jesus today. And I'm talking about I'm going all out, and I'm going to do everything that Jesus is going to do today. And that's going to be my Mardi Gras day. I'm putting on my sandals, my long hair. We're getting it done. There's the other side, which is probably more prevalent. We're going to cover up this, and we're going to live like this wants to live. And I'm going to do everything that I want to do, my flesh wants to do today. But I got my mask on, and it's okay, because nobody's going to know that it's really Philip under there kind of doing all those things. Mardi Gras, a day you can be whoever you want to be. I don't read today that Paul was the person who was one way today and one way the next day. I don't think he had a mask in his back pocket that he would put on strategically when he wanted to be a Jesus man, and then he would take it off and put it in his back pocket when he didn't. I don't think I'm reading him that way. Now, I'll let y'all determine when we get to the end of this thing if I'm reading it right or not. When Jesus changed Paul on the road to Damascus, his life's purpose became very singular. There was no mask needed. His one purpose, if I read right, was to live out his calling for Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, whether it cost him an imprisonment or if it cost him freedom, whether he was making a tent, whether he was sharing the gospel, no matter what he was doing, he was going to be the same person every minute of every day. Now that's challenging, but that also has a lot of freedom in it as well. I think, and here's what I'm seeking to possibly prove to you today. I think we're playing a game called Christianity. Christianity is not a costume or a mask. Christianity is not a role you step into on Sunday and step out of Monday morning and into another one. Christianity is certainly not a series of boxes that you've determined that you start on Monday of each week and you check them. Christian, Christian, Christian. good Christian. All my boxes are checked. That ain't it. Serving Jesus, if I read Paul right today, serving Jesus should define mine and your daily life. If we say today that we are Christians, not playing Christianopoly, if we're saying today that we are Christians, then serving Jesus Christ should define every aspect of our daily life. And there's a second part. And living in the presence of Jesus should be what we look forward to. Is it? I don't know. It sure was what Paul was looking forward to. And here's the thing. He got that statement there, and I know we're still in the introduction. But when this becomes true, what I just talked about, death stops looking like loss. Otherwise, it's going to continue to look like loss. But today, here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to say game over to the game called Christianity if you're playing it. Y'all ready? If you're going to quit playing the game, the first thing that you've got to do is make Christ your life. Look at verse 21. For to me, Paul writes, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. To die is gain. It's better. How does this man write this? If this is Christianity writing, Christian writing, wow, what has happened? Where's this writing today? To live, to breathe, to draw air, to get another chance to go again, that is Christ. To live for Him. Yes, it's daylight again. I've got another chance to go and live for Christ, to follow Christ. Is that a picture of you tomorrow morning? Ooh, is that a picture of me? Urgh. Ooh, woof. Oh me, oh my. Should it be though? Or is he some sort of freak? Is he a Jesus freak that we shouldn't listen to? I don't think that's why God let him be in the Bible. I think he put him there to be an example. We don't have many of those examples, do we? Okay. Paul reduces life to four words. To live is Christ. Not to live is comfort. To live is success. To live is retirement. To live is to vacation. Notice he does not say, Christ is really important to my life. Or, Christ is part of my life. Jesus, my co-pilot. I don't know. Christ is life. That's very different. Very different. That's identity language. Paul is saying, if I wake up breathing, it is for Jesus Christ. If I remain on earth, it is for Jesus Christ. Most believers have Christ in their lives. He's part of it. It's on my necklace. Paul had Christ as his life. That's very different. That's not being part. That is with, together, united, a sole purpose. So, if Christ is part of your life, He competes with everything else. He's trying to grab a little time in there with you. Well, can we have a little, Philip, can we, I mean, I know you're busy. I know you're off and running this morning, but you mind if we pray? Will you spend a little time with me? What about my word? You know, I wrote you all those good things, and I noticed that you kind of ran out the door before you got to any of that. There's a guy over here that I really need you to share the gospel with. Do you think that you can cut lunch 5 minutes short and maybe go over there and share that with him? I know you're busy, and this is important to you. If Christ is your life, everything else falls under him. He is everything. He's the first thing. He's the first thing you thought of when you do that. This morning I wake up, I got to talk to God. It's non-negotiable. I've got to have a conversation with my Lord and Savior this morning. I've got to ask him for strength. I've got to ask him for direction. I've got to ask him for power. Here's his word. What am I going to do? Oh, I know. I'm going to see what he says for me to do, and I'm going to spend a little time in it. I'm going to look at that, and I'm going to read what God said to do and not what the news says for me to do or to worry about or think about. I'm going to get in God's word because you know what? He sees the end from the beginning. The news don't know what happened 5 minutes ago. They don't know what's going to happen. Definitely don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. God does. Are we turning to him? We turn into something else. Who is really on that throne? Where is Christ in this thing? Is he part of it or is he it? As far as falling under your family, do you go to work for Christ? Is that even part of it, or are you somebody else at work? That's separate. I'm not at church. I'm at work. If you can't worship at work, you may need to consider changing your job. Your family, is it for Christ or is it something else? Your money, is it for Christ or is it for something else? Does Jesus get just the crumbs that fall off the table because you've designated to worship everything else with your money? And oh, yeah, we're supposed to give a little bit back to the Lord too, weren't we? He'll forgive me. Who was first? Who was first? Verse 22. But if I'm to live on in the flesh, alive, breathing air, this will mean fruitful labor for me. I do not know which to choose. This is like, what? He's sitting there thinking about working for the Lord. He's giddy. I don't know which one to choose. We talk about working for the Lord, and it's like, I got to be somewhere else. I got something to do. And Paul is just elated about it. I get to work for Jesus today. I'm alive again. I wonder what the Lord wants me to do for him. And we're trying to figure out when we got 5 minutes for him. There's a big difference in those things. I'm not saying I got it all right, but I think this is right. Paul does not see life as an existence. He sees life as an assignment, something with a purpose. He doesn't say, if I keep living, yes, I get more time, and that's another season of football, and that's another opportunity to go to the Roman Colosseum again. I love going out there and watching those guys. It's awesome. I get to go to the restaurant, Salvatore something Italian again. No? He says, if I keep living, I get to labor more for Jesus. I get another chance to go out there and try to give back just a little bit of what he's given me. I get to use the gifts, the talents that Jesus has given me for his glory. Yes! Or am I reading this? Am I reading this wrong? Y'all tell me, because y'all look like y'all are mad and upset and like I'm crazy. Am I crazy? I don't think I am. I did earlier this week. But I'm kind of settled on it. Now I'm thinking, no, this is what this guy's doing. And it's crazy, but it's what I'm supposed to be doing. This is a man who has settled what life is for. When we live in a world where people don't have a clue, they're sitting there trying to figure out what their gender is. What are we doing? Am I a girl or am I a boy? I don't think Paul's thinking about those things. I think he had already established the most basic things in life, and he was headed on to the higher things. He wasn't sitting there trying to siphon off another ounce of milk. He was sitting there enjoying a marbled up ribeye because he is with the Lord. That sounds too good, don't it? Mmm, I can smell that thing. The reason death terrifies me and many other Christians is because I haven't defined what life really is. What is my purpose? What is Philip's purpose? It's been a number of things over my life. I've been the MLB baseball player. I've been the comedian. I've been the nurse. I've been the whatever else. I've been so many things trying to determine what is it that God has called me to do. But for the first time, I'm a little bit settled. I feel like God has called me to use the few things, talents, and gifts, and to tell other people about Him. Philip, would you just go tell them about me? It ain't going to be easy. They ain't going to like what you're going to say. They're going to get mad at you. They're going to look at you ugly. I was reading yesterday in the book of Luke where Jesus went in there and dropped a hammer on a sermon. He went in and he's laying it down. He's telling them what's up. And they were real tickled about it in the beginning, but then he got to hitting them in the mouth a little bit. And next thing you know, they is running him out of his temple and off a cliff. And they were going to literally push him off the cliff for telling them the truth. And I thought, well, Jesus, I guess I don't probably need to expect any better than that, should I? If I keep the message the same. Sin kind of responds the same way every time, doesn't it? But it wasn't his time, so he just walked back through the crowd. That's awesome. They're trying to kill him, and he's just like, excuse me, sorry. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go back over here because it ain't my time yet. And I assume that maybe if I can make it out of here today, it won't be my time either. I'm going to give you a quick illustration because this is embarrassing, but it's so true, and some of you may feel the same way. My senior year, I wanted to go to Panama City Beach after on May, whatever it was, 28th, the day after you graduate. You know, that's an exciting time. I worshiped that. I thought about it. And I had this thought. I had drawn the map of all the places that I was going to go and do all the things that I wanted to do. And I thought, I can remember like saying, God, please, please don't come back before I get back from Panama City Beach. Y'all laughing? I'm being dead serious. And some of y'all probably doing the same thing today. God, if you will just let me fulfill this one last worldly desire that I want to do, then you can come back and then I'll serve you after that. Do we hear ourselves saying those things? What are we doing? What in the world are we doing? We've been duped. The devil's good at what he does. If life is about comfort, death is going to threaten it. If life is about accumulation of more and more and more, death is going to end that. If life is about controlling everything around you, death will eventually remove your desire for control. But if life is Christ, then death gives you, guess what death gives you? When your life is truly centered upon Christ and wanting more of Him, guess what gift death gives you? 100% access to Jesus Christ for eternity. That's a different way to look at death, isn't it? So you're telling me that if I lose my life today, because I believe in Jesus Christ and I love Him, I will get to spend eternity in His presence. Well, that's a lot different than the way that I usually think about what death is going to be like. I'm not saying that I'm signing up or I want y'all to kill me after this or anything like that. But if you do, guess what? You did this old boy a favor. You may did Bethany a favor. I don't. Some days it's probably a favor to her. But I can tell you this morning. And some of y'all can't. If you kill me right now, you know where I'm going to be? With Jesus. I'm confident in that. Because I've done what the Bible says you need to do. I believe Him. I confess Him as Lord. I've asked Him to forgive me of my sins. I'm really trusting Him for this thing. Like that's there's nothing else. I don't have a plan B. It's Jesus or But have y'all trusted Him? That's the question. Are you still leaning on something else? And if you're having trouble with some of this stuff, and this stuff seems so foreign, and that I've lost my mind this morning, a good chance is that you haven't really trusted Him. You don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, so there is absolutely no way you're going to live your life like this. You've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit to get here. Food for thought. Wow, one-point sermon. It's incredible. There's three. Question for you guys, is Christ something you add, or is Christ something that defines you? Let's think about that for just a minute. Is Christ a garnish? Is He a salt, a little pepper, some hot sauce? Or is he the dish? Which one is He? Now let's see which one. You may say, oh, He's the dish. Definitely the dish. Would never be a salt. If that's true, if someone looked at your last week, not your words, not your report, but your week and your actions, would they conclude that Christ was the garnish? Or would they conclude that He was the main thing? Not by what you told me you did, how you lived, what you thought about, how you talked to other people, the actions you took. What would it say? What would it say? Would somebody say, when I evaluated Philip's life this week, the one thing that I can tell you, the four words that came to my mind was, to live is Christ. That's what he believes. I sure wish you could say that. To live is Christ. So the key application in point one is to make Christ your life. And there's a side effect that's going to happen. You know, not all side effects are bad. When you make Christ your life, I venture to tell you that every other thing will fall right into place. Get the first step right, and He'll take care of the rest of them. I'm going to finish this sermon next week, because every one of these is like this. There's three of them, and all of them are like it. I'm sorry. But I just do not feel like that. I would be faithful to try to rush through the next 2 points of this, and I never imagined that I would just be at the end of the first point this morning. But I'm going to trust this is what the Lord wanted. Amen. By the number of words, it's supposed to be a 20-minute sermon. It ain't that. But here's what I'd like to do. Here's what I would like to do. Or maybe this is what the Lord wants to do. I hope it's that. This punched me in the mouth this week. Because in the Western world, I do think that we're playing a game. We've got boxes. We've got structures. And as long as we'll fit in those little places, we'll say we're just fine. But what I see from Paul is that every thought, every breath, everything that he did centered around what he could do for Jesus Christ because he loved him that much. And that's very different. I'm not coming down on you this morning. I've had to do a lot of praying this week myself. But if that's you and you've been playing the game, I think it's time to do business with God while we have our last time of worship. Spend that time asking for forgiveness. I think that's only right. Say, God, I'm sorry for playing the game. But secondly, I'm going to need the help. I'm going to need your help to not play the game. I'm going to need your help each and every day to fill me with your Spirit so that I can glorify you, so that I can focus upon you, so that I can live for you and do what it is that I need to do for you. And then also, as we talked about a few minutes ago, if this is crazy to you and you have never come close to any of this, and this is, you're like, man, no, I don't know nothing about that, but I want to know. I believe you're right. You look crazy. You've had a look in your eye since you got up there, and I believe you believe what you're telling me. I want a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want an opportunity to do this in my life. I want that purpose. Today's the day to get that through prayer and asking Jesus Christ for it. So, Jeffrey, if you and the team would come up, I just trust that you'll respond however you need to respond this morning. But I'm going to be down front as they sing our last song. If I can help you in any way, I would encourage you just to come down. I would love to talk to you. If you would, please stand.